Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Bob and Kelly with you today, and our good friend Daniel is with us today. Daniel Stewart from Southern Bancorp, and that's where we're broadcasting, the Southern Bancorp studio. Opening segment sponsored every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Today, no different, and a great place to take your family for a wonderful meal tonight or to cater maybe this weekend's baseball back at the Pete. They do a great job of that always at Dickey's. All right, Golden Eagles back on the road after a weekend series win over a tough Troy team. We always bring Daniel in on Tuesdays to analyze things for us. And Daniel, first of all, you look back at that Troy series. I realize they came in here sub 500. I was not surprised, though. They were tough and competitive, and they could really swing the bats.
Yeah, they really could. And I attribute that to their head coach. He's a young guy, aggressive guy. Very much coaches their guys like Coach Ostrander coaches our guys. I felt like the general vibe from both of the teams were very similar. Mm-hmm. They were gritty. We were gritty. This weekend could have easily gone the other way for us, I think. Strength from the bullpen, some timely hits put us over the top. We came out of there 2 out of 3. So I'm very happy with that.
Does it appear to you, it did to us, that maybe the team is beginning to work its way out of this hitting slump they've been in?
It seemed to me, you know, prior weeks, last weekend, there were a lot of swings that you kind of just, man, like, why are you swinging at that? It seems that they've kind of got it figured out to where there wasn't as many of those just off-the-wall swings. Guys weren't just trying to hit home runs. It didn't seem trying to put the ball in play, swinging at better pitches. So, yeah, I had the feeling after this weekend that we're hopefully over that little slump we were in.
Next segment, we're going to hear from Colby Allen. I'm interested to get your thoughts about that. He obviously went back to the bullpen and just looked 100% more comfortable.
Yeah, he did. He did a great job as a starter, but it was obvious just in his body language. He thrives in that reliever role. And we've talked about it some where I like him there because I know what he can do. His pitches, his fastball was a little faster. His slider is a lot sharper because he knows he's not trying to go six innings. He's going maybe two. Mm-hmm. You put him in that reliever role on a Friday night, maybe a Sunday, where if he's a starter, we can maybe get one win, hopefully get one win. You put him in that position as a reliever, we're hopefully getting two wins from Colby Allen, being able to stop rallies or put an end to whatever they've got going on a Friday and maybe a Sunday. So I think we get two wins out of him versus one.
You talk about how to handle this pitching staff. Daniel, I think the only pitcher that has a rock solid, know what my job is going to be from here on out is Camden Clark. Dennis Eckersley with the A's back in the day. Goose Gossage with the Yankees. I mean, you knew when it was closing time who the guy was going to be. Is that the way you assess it at this point, that he's the only guy that you know what his role is going to be going forward?
I think so. The only thing I could see doing maybe different, because without knowing exactly how the year's going to go, maybe Colby moving back into that closer role. But I think Clark's done well enough and been dominant enough. I think that position's his. I think he's our closer.
Are you worried about the starting weekend rotation? They're not getting very deep into games.
They're not. It is a little troubling. I saw a stat, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it showed our relief pitchers versus our starting pitchers. Our relief pitcher numbers were way better than our starting pitching numbers, and that's not a testament to what they've done over the year. Just it was maybe last weekend or last week. Two things. There is some uncertainty in our starting rotation. Graydon Harris still did a good job, I believe. It wasn't his sharpest outing he's had. Gave up a few timely hits that they had to put them over the top. McCarty's still our Sunday guy. Didn't go very deep. but we're still winning ball games. So it's a testament to how strong our bullpen is. So if you got a bullpen like ours, your starters can have some short starts, and we can still be very successful on the mound.
Yeah.
Now, they're all great players on Southern Miss, but is there any one particular player who you're not 100% sold on yet, Daniel, either defensively or offensively or both?
I think, honestly, I think, and I know he's hurt, Ben Higdon to me seems like he hasn't quite stepped into what he could be. He kind of turned it on last year. Same thing for Matthew Russo. Not disappointed by any means, but I know what he can do for the power numbers. Yeah. We're not seeing those power numbers from him.
Although he had a decent weekend.
He did. He had a great weekend. On the mound, I think it's probably McCarty, but I think McCarty's still trying to mentally, physically get over some humps. He's got the tools. I think he's just not quite figured it out just yet, but he's throwing well enough to, I think, maintain and hold on to that position as our Sunday starter. Hopefully he figures it out.
They're going to start Crabtree tonight up in Starkville, but Oz confirmed yesterday it's going to be Johnny Holstaff.
Johnny Holstaff.
Probably 8 or 9 kids on the mound.
Yeah, and, I mean, gosh, look at how we've done with that strategy against Mississippi State last time, Ole Miss, Alabama. You're doing that to get innings for those guys that are, you know, your relievers, but it's a winning strategy as well. I mean, like we've talked, Bruce Littleton, man, he is electric. Farr, what's his name? Kevin Landry Farr, electric. J.W. Armistead has really impressed me how he's come out lately. So you start running these relievers that we've got out there that are young guys, electric arms, striking a lot of people. It's fun to watch.
And, you know, that philosophy is starting to creep its way into the major league levels. Because I know, being a Detroit Tiger fan, A.J. Hinch, the manager of Detroit, in their fourth or fifth starter guy, he did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. The starter would go 2 innings and then 2 innings and then 1 inning and 2 innings. And he would get a really have to manage that bullpen, but it worked well for him.
And the fun thing about that is, and I think these guys know, before the game, hey, you're getting 2 innings, you're getting 1 inning, you're getting 1 inning. As a starter, I'm going 80% every inning because I know I'm trying to get 6 or 7 innings. If I know I've got 1 or 2 innings, I'm going 90 to 100% that 1 inning or 2 innings I get. So you're seeing these guys, I mean, Littleton was throwing 94, 95 miles an hour. As a starter, he's probably not throwing that hard. But, hey, if I know I've got 1 inning, I'm about to go 100%.
And, Kelly, from an offensive standpoint, isn't that difficult if every inning there's a new pitcher? You can never really kind of settle in on the rhythm of a pitcher.
And it forces the other team's management or coach to pull the trigger on, okay, am I gonna get the matchup lefty against the righty here? Because next inning, if I put my lefty in, they're going to bring a lefty in. So you really – robbing Peter to pay Paul. It really makes it difficult to juggle your lineup offensively.
Yeah, absolutely. Every inning is different. You know, it's, you know, maybe you get 4 outs, maybe you get 2 outs. You just don't know. I think Ostrander is saying, hey, look, you've got 3 outs regardless of what the matchup is. But let it get late in the game and let it be a close game. He's going to probably veer off of that. And we might see Clark come in a little sooner rather than later, depending on how close the ball game is.
And it might be a slow progression, but I see this as a trend starting now in not only college but Major League Baseball too, is as you're trying to protect arms, the biggest enemy of an arm is overuse.
True.
Right? So you want to try to, as best you can, you really have to manage the fire out of that staff, but it's been very effective.
And it seems like this is kind of pervasive over baseball in general. Your starters were always your better pitchers. Those are the guys you wanted on the bump with the ball as long as they could go. But gosh, across the board, college, pro, you've got some really good relief pitchers that you don't really sacrifice a lot going to the pen nowadays.
Have you seen many teams, excuse me, set up like this, though, that the bullpen seems to be the best pitchers?
It's rare. I don't know if I've ever seen it, especially at Southern Miss. I mean, we've had some good bullpens in the past, maybe where you had 3 guys you could count on. Now, I mean, anybody we run out there, I'm like, man, who is this guy? We know him now, but when first of the year, I was like, man, who is Bruce Littleton? Who is this guy? Where did we get him from? Just electric out of the bullpen. It is really fun to watch.
So far.
So far. You know, so far.
It's a funny game because 2 weeks down the road, you could be talking about how great the starters are and how the pen has gone to heck in a handbasket.
Well, you see
what
they
can do. It always makes
you
a little nervous, too, because you're bringing in a new guy every inning and you're thinking, oh, Lord, this is close. Don't have a bad outing here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's these guys are going to be coached well. They're athletic. They're Division I baseball players for a reason. So, a lot of confidence in him.
Good matchup tonight. Golden Eagles going to be up in Starkville. The return match, and I told Kelly, Daniel, the Golden Eagles are playing on house money. They've already won. They've already won the first game. So the worst they can do is even with State. I think the pressure may be a little more on the Mississippi State kids.
I think so, too. And Mississippi State's going to Oxford this weekend to play Ole Miss. So that's going to not just take the SEC out of it, an in-state SEC rivalry. Those guys probably aren't just looking ahead, but they've got a good team they're going to play tonight with us. And then Ole Miss is playing really good as well. So if you're a State fan, you've got four really hard games coming up.
No State question. Is pitching Chris Billingsley tonight. He's 1-0 with a 6.75 ERA. He's a 6'4", 205-pounder junior out of Brent, Alabama. But I would suspect that Coach O'Connor is going to go Johnny Holstaff
as long
well.
As he doesn't throw 78 miles an hour. That seems to be the kryptonite there.
That's our kryptonite.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to hear from Colby Allen, see what he thinks about moving back to the bullpen, and then get Daniel's thoughts on that. As we head to the break, Boris Health reminds you that keeping up with your team is fun, but you're the most important player. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you. Expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. We will be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Hattiesburg. Dema Mixon's on his way to Starkville. We're going to grab Dema here in just a few minutes and get his observations as he gets closer to the scene of tonight's game. This segment, of course, sponsored by Eagle Tire West there on Highway 98 West. They sell Goodyear tires, full service, auto and truck service. They've been family-owned and operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service. Big Southern Miss supporters. All right. Doubtful that we'll see Colby Allen tonight, right, Daniel? He pitched a good bit Friday, and I'm sure they're holding him for the weekend.
They will be,
But anyway, I had a chance to spend some time with him yesterday. He's really, if you're ever around him, you just can't help but just, you know, fall in love with the kid. He's just such a good young man. Talk to him about the move from Friday night starter back to the bullpen. Going to hear what he said and then get Daniel's thoughts. All right, Colby Allen back on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Colby, it's been quite an adventure for you. And let's talk a little bit about the change from going from Friday night back to the bullpen where you really looked comfortable Friday night.
Yeah, it feels normal, I guess you could say. Kind of had that talk with Oz last Monday and then got out there Tuesday in Biloxi and I was like, oh, wow, yeah, this is a lot different, but it's a good different. I just got back to, I guess you could say, my roots.
Yeah. Talk to us about how this came about. When did you first start thinking in those terms?
I obviously wasn't performing the way I wanted to perform. I kind of told Coach Oz, like, hey, in my eyes, it sucks to say, but I think Grade should be pitching on Fridays, then I don't know what I should be doing. I knew something didn't feel right. We kind of just had a good man-to-man talk and decided let's try the bullpen back out. And sure enough, it's worked pretty well.
Describe the difference now that you've done both. What is the difference, mental approach and physical approach?
Yeah, I try to take it the same approach as always out of the bullpen, kind of get out of the gate and attack the hitters. But I kind of got to, I guess you'd say, nitpicking a little too much when I was starting, trying to get us deep into games instead of really attacking hitters. like I do coming out of the bullpen. Honestly, I tried not to do that, but I think I subconsciously did that when I was starting, and that's just not who I am.
Can you approach the batters with more energy when you come in as a relief pitcher? Do you have to pace yourself more when you're starting?
I try not to pace myself when I was starting, but I think coming out of that bullpen, your mindset's already set for you, I guess you could say. That you kind of know you got probably three innings here or an inning here. Let's go let it all out. But, yeah, I guess that's really the only difference in my eyes. I tried to keep it the same as much as I could, but, you know, subconsciously, yeah, it was a lot different.
I want to ask all you pitchers this. Oz, renowned, obviously, is one of the great pitching coaches in the country, and he brings in another pitching coach this year. How's all that worked?
It's worked really well, honestly. I think he's kind of let Coach Leje take on a lot on his own, honestly. Yeah, Coach Leje is awesome. He's helped us in a lot of ways. It's been a little different look of help, but it's like a really good help. Don't get me wrong. It's been pretty awesome to have him around.
I asked you at the start of the year, media day, had you started to think about this being your senior year? Are you thinking about that at all?
Yeah, I kind of thought about it yesterday. We were just sitting around after the series against Troy, and I was like, dang, man. I think it was me, Russo, and Kyle Morrison were talking about it. We're like, crap, we're almost halfway through the year. It's flown by in a blink of an eye, and you kind of don't really think about it until you get to, like, that middle of the year part, and you're like, man, we're about to have three or four more series, and it's June, and we're playing, you know. Yeah, it gets here quick.
You're going back to Starkville this week. That mean anything to you at this point? You're a dye-in-the-wool Golden Eagle now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be fun getting to see all my buddies, you know. But, it's Starkville's not home, so Louisville's home. I know people try to get that mixed up, but really Hattiesburg is home, if you want me to be honest with you. Starkville doesn't really mean much to me.
19-5. This team's off to a red-hot start. What's the mindset in Colby Allen's mind and your teammates' mind?
We got to keep attacking it one game at a time. We're kind of trying to even simplify it even more, is one pitch at a time. I know that's a big thing I've been preaching these past couple weeks. We kind of been struggling a little bit, and I think we're just trying to look at the big picture and looking over all the little things a little much. I think when we were coming into the season, we were playing so well, we were really taking things really like one pitch at a time and not really looking at anything else. And I think that's the thing we just got to get back to, and I think we got back to that yesterday. Everything started flowing. About that fifth inning, you kind of felt it, honestly. Everybody's like, oh, crap, here we go. We're back to doing what we're good at.
Your coach told us last week, and actually again this week, that most players, if they were told they were going to go from Friday night back to the bullpen, would pout up and not be happy. He said your attitude about it speaks the world about you, and that your commitment to the team, the community, your teammates are very, very impressive to him.
Yeah, I told him first off I want to win, but I'm also going to be true to myself. You know, I'm not going to shy away if I'm not getting the job done, just selfishly want to do something, you know. I told him straight up I think a change was needing to be happening. That change worked out for all of us. I feel more comfortable back in the bullpen, and I think it helps our team with me being back in the bullpen.
All right, when you hit that field Friday night, did you feel like you were back home?
Yeah, I really didn't feel my body when I ran out there and I heard my walkout song play and everybody yelling, you know, that felt pretty good.
Yeah. Colby, do you ever get tired of playing in crazy atmospheres like what we saw here on Sunday afternoon?
I love it. Oh, I love that, honestly. I wish we could play every game like that, honestly. That kind of keeps it, everybody on their toes.
You're feeling good physically and mentally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. No regrets about coming back.
Absolutely not. I love this place. This is home.
Right. All right. And your expectations and your goals for yourself the rest of the year?
Yeah. Keep attacking it. Keep being a good teammate and leader. That's it.
And you are that.
Yes, sir. I try to be.
All right, Colby. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Mr. Bob.
All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Good to see you as always, my man. All right, Daniel, your thoughts about what you just heard that kid say?
Well, you know, he talked about his transition from bullpen to being the Friday night starter, now back to the bullpen. But the transition, you kind of forget about it. He transitioned from a catcher to a pitcher. Right. Then he ascended to the Friday night guy. So,
that's right.
But I think he said it when he said, you know, maybe I wasn't attacking as much as a starter as I am that reliever. And that's kind of – I think that's kind of what we've observed is he's more comfortable in that reliever role. He can go that 100% versus trying to stretch out innings and maybe go 80%. But you know, think about like in the pros, you had Mariano Rivera. You know, he was a reliever. He was not a starter. I think Colby is just a relief pitcher. He thrives in that role. And like I said earlier, I think we can get more wins out of him in the bullpen
right.
than we can as a Friday night starter. And I think still in the minds of most, he's still the ace on our staff.
Your thoughts, Kelly?
Well, human athletes and even go to horses on the racetrack. You got sprinters and you got distance. You know, some people are much better sprinters. Some people are better at long distances. I think he learned that he's a sprinter.
Yeah.
And he probably knew that to some degree, but – as he mentioned, he wants to do anything he can to help the team.
That's right.
But I think once he was given that choice, the word relief was used in a pitching sense, but not in an emotional sense. I think it was probably also a relief.
I absolutely sensed that yesterday in the time I spent with him. That's a great observation, Kelly. I think that's exactly correct.
Because I think that's where, if he's given a choice, that's where he's more comfortable. But, hey, if you need him to catch –
he can catch.
Yeah.
Daniel,
yeah.
What does it say, though, in this era of I'm going to play at four different schools in four different years, that you got a kid that's willing.
Yeah.
He got all this publicity about coming back to be the Friday night starter, and then it doesn't really, I guess you could say, doesn't really work out. And his attitude is magnificent, isn't it?
It's a testament to our program and our tradition, number one, that Southern Miss is a place that we can attract good kids that are good ball players at the same time. I mean, everybody you've interviewed, Bob, all these kids are respectful, nice, speak well.
For sure.
Smart. We have great baseball players, and we have great kids, too. So the tradition of Southern Miss, I think where we are now, we've built that over the years where this is a special place to play, and once kids get here, they don't want to leave.
And I worry about the future of kids now in travel ball being told by their parents how special they are, how they're the very best player out there, and if they don't play shortstop, we're going to go play on a team that lets us play shortstop. No such thing as working your way into that starting position or doing what it takes to win.
Yeah.
If mom and dad say you're the best and you got to play shortstop.
Yeah.
And God rest his soul, guys, all those parents should have met Coach Robichaud before he passed, the longtime Louisiana coach. I think you were on the show that day we had him on before his passing, and he laid it on the line about travel ball and kids and their attitudes and how they thought they were a lot more than they were when they got there. And he was not shy about putting them in their place.
But those kids have that attitude. Why?
Because their parents put it in their heads.
That's exactly right. So if you want your piece of advice for today, parents, if you want your kids playing college ball like Colby Allen and these guys are, play wherever the coach asks you to play. Do the best you can.
Yeah.
Work your way into whatever position you want, and you as parents keep your mouths shut.
Now, it's well documented, my man, that you never lost a game to Mississippi State. Is there any COVID eligible? Can we still have time to get you up there?
Hey, if I can fit in a uniform, I'll give it a go.
And he might not be able to do that, but he could probably get him a good interest rate on a car loan.
That I could do. That I could do.
Even get me and you a good interest rate.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, don't forget about Genesis of Hattiesburg, official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans, SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. When we come back, we're going to find Dima Mix, and he is on his way to Starkville, and Daniel's going to stick around with us the rest of the show.
Stick around.
We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, let's get right back to it. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air from the Southern Bank Course studio here in Hattiesburg. We've got a studio full now. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, where you can go for all your sports training, including baseball and softball.
And I'm sure Jacob Parker did at one time, who was the SEC Freshman of the Week for Mississippi State out of Purvis High School.
Yep, that's right. All right, Caleb Hamill's in the studio with us along with our friend Daniel, and we've got Dima Mixon on the phone. Dima's on his way to Starkville. Caleb has done how many Mississippi State games this year?
It's been 11, and one of them, as a matter of fact, was that Southern Miss game back at Pete Taylor Park not too long ago. So State's trying to find a way to get back on the winning side against the Golden Eagles, but I feel like we're kind of in mirror images of what last year was right now. It started with a competitive game, close game at Pete Taylor Park, and if history repeats itself, then it's going to be a State blowout in this one. But I'm kind of doubtful that that's going to happen unless Southern Miss's hitting just kind of continues the weekend woes into this week. Yeah.
It was a bad blowout last year. We don't really want to see any more of that, do we, Daniel?
I think I've erased that from my memory.
But it was like 18-6 or something?
I'd have to go back and look, but it's kind of all flash in the pan. It's all in the past now. But these are two really good teams, and I'm looking forward to the second meeting. Yeah, both teams kind of look a little different at this point in the season. State's hitting has really taken off. Bryce Chance, Mississippi State's nine-hole hitter, is now the SEC's leading hitter. If you can imagine that, how State is choosing to use him. But this lineup is kind of finally finding its footing from behind the plate. You know, you saw Mississippi State give up a couple wild pitches, pass balls that caused the tying and then go-ahead runs to score. And now they've kind of settled in on their true catcher they just settled on from the fall. He's back after injury. And so they're hoping that having a rock-solid guy behind the plate will prevent those type of things from happening moving on.
Let's just be honest. I mean, Mississippi is first-class college baseball. You got three teams in the top 20. You got three teams in the top 15 of RPI. It just doesn't get a lot better than that.
Well, we've talked about it a lot. It's if you're a high school baseball player, you definitely have a lot of options of where you want to play at the next level if you're good. And Southern Miss going to toot our horn. I think we've got seven of the 12 Dandy Dozen headed to be a Golden Eagle next year. But yeah, it's a great place to be a college baseball fan.
All right, Dima Mixon's on his way up there to do some reporting on the game tonight. Let's talk a little bit about Southern Miss, what we're going to see from the mound tonight from the Eagles, Dima.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice if I could get to the game. The same people are doing Reed Green. I'm still at Evelyn Parkway here, so it'd be nice to get to Starkville tonight. But, Thomas Crabtree on the mound for Southern Miss, which actually was a little bit of a surprise to me because he threw on Saturday against Troy. Now, obviously, he didn't go very long, and I would expect tonight it's going to be a very similar approach to what they've done in the past, where it's kind of an inning-by-inning approach, very similar to what they did against Mississippi State when they were in Hattiesburg. But I just didn't think that Crabtree would get to start, but, you know, that shows you what I know. So, I don't know how long he's going to go. It kind of makes me a little bit nervous just because his fastball hasn't been really that well hidden, and that's why he's gotten hit a lot. And, you know, you want to hide your pitch as well against this Mississippi State lineup. Like, this lineup, like Caleb was saying, is, obviously one of the best lineups in the country, and they play much better at their home park. They're 16-0 at home. But like we saw last time when Mississippi State played Southern Miss, the pitching that Southern Miss has can neutralize that. I do believe that. You know, tonight to me is going to be about whether or not Southern Miss can hit the ball enough, because I still think it's going to take – you're not going to just completely erase Mississippi State's offense. Like, I think they're going to get their runs, but Southern Miss's offense is going to have to capitalize when State's arms on the mound, which to me is the story of the game, of whether or not their arms are going to be up for the task. They're going to have to score with Mississippi State. But I think for Southern Miss, it's like – This game is you don't want to play in Mississippi State's way, right? You don't want to play into their hands. Their hands is to win this game 13-9 or 13-8 or 14-10, whatever it is. Southern Miss really needs to make this game just like they did in Hattiesburg, a 7-6, 8-7 game.
You know, Dima, I'm thinking right now about just how similar Mississippi State and Southern Miss are as far as the way they're approaching this game, because right now State's down a couple of key starting pitchers. Ryan McPherson, their typical Friday night guy, kind of went out early with an apparent elbow problem. We don't know yet the extent of all that. But Chris Billingsley's a guy that's kind of seen his ups and downs this year. This is his first start for the Bulldogs. He's a JUCO product, but he's a guy that typically has seen some short relief, and then all of a sudden it'll fall to pieces. I would expect State and Southern Miss to have really similar approaches to a Johnny Holstaff. You have five or six arms at least per side. But I'm with you. Hitting may turn out to be the big difference in this one. For Mississippi State this year, it's been if they get out in front early, they've typically held on. But if they give up the runs early on, that's when it's been an uphill climb and been tough to challenge their opponent moving forward. But like you said, at home, it is a difficult place to play. It should be a good environment. And as you said, State plays really well at their home venue.
Dima, hitting-wise right now, is Kyle Morrison kind of the dude, at least right now, for Southern Miss?
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. You know, him and Gillespie, you know, have been really the three most consistent bats over the last couple weekends, and I expect both of them to have big games tonight. We haven't seen a lineup, so I'm just curious on who's in right field because, you know, Tonsmeyer went into right field at the end of the game on Sunday, so I'm interested to see that. I would expect Gray Eubanks to still be the DH. And like I said, Crabtree's on the mound. I do think we'll see some interesting arms tonight from Southern Miss. You know, I've heard some things, speculatory things, of course, but of different arms to see. You know, with all the arms that we've seen from Southern Miss so far, they still have about three or four guys they haven't even thrown yet. And I think we might see one or two of those guys tonight, just from what I've heard. So be looking for that as well.
Yeah, Morrison with an 11-game hitting streak.
Yeah, that's unreal. He's been a nice find this year for sure. You know, going into the game a couple weeks back or 3 weeks ago, we played Mississippi State. I still felt we were going to come out of it with a victory. I still think we're going to win tonight, but that confidence level is a little bit less because I do feel like, and I've seen some of the Mississippi State stats lately, those guys are just tearing up the ball. Bullpen going to be a – well, I say our bullpen. This Johnny Hull staff, bullpen staff, going to be able to hold these bats off for nine innings tonight, and our hitter is going to be able to come out of this little slump they've been in and capitalize – against State's pitchers tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, the pitching has been a huge neutralizing factor this year. You look at the top arms that State has faced this year, Southern Miss and Arkansas. A little bit of UCLA if you want to sprinkle it in there. Mm-hmm. But in those four games that State has played, they've only won one of those. And that's a big difference maker.
Yeah, no, that's what I was literally about to say. I was going to say that to Daniels, that Southern Miss has already shown that they can hold down Mississippi State's offense. And they did it with starting five freshmen in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they ran out Causey, Littleton, Cale Farr, Teague Broadhead, I mean, those were the first four guys who saw the field against Mississippi State at home. And I don't think Mississippi State scored until about the fifth inning, and all their runs came with two outs. I don't think they allowed a home run in that game, if I remember correctly.
I think all those
were gapper goals. So, and I would expect Colby Allen to pitch tonight for sure. He's definitely going to throw a bullpen tonight. He was warming up on Sunday, and he did not throw because of what Camden Clark did. So I fully expect a full dose of Colby Allen tonight, somewhere in the seventh and eighth inning for sure.
That's interesting because you guys didn't think that you would see Colby tonight.
Yeah.
You
know? No, and he didn't really give us any indication either. Well, I don't guess they've told him anything.
Well, yet. I mean, you know, as your weekly routine as a starting pitcher is a little bit different than a relief pitcher. Your bullpens are going to be different. So, heck, instead of throwing the bullpen in the pen, get some real live action tonight for Colby Allen.
Caleb, this is quite a week for Mississippi State. They take on 11th-ranked Southern Miss tonight, and then you guys have your friends from Oxford this weekend.
You use that term loosely, right?
Right.
Very loosely. But now, this is a. I think back to when State was playing in Arlington, three games, and then they come to play in Hattiesburg for that following Tuesday game. State really, at least from a fan's perspective and from the way I saw it, viewed it as a four-game weekend, per se. And so they pitched it as if they had to have that fourth game against Southern Miss. And unfortunately for State, they split two wins, two losses. But it's really odd that I go into this weekend, or this week, I should say, feeling like Tuesday is completely on its own island and it doesn't have hardly any bearing on how you approach the weekend. And part of that's because of the rest you have there. But I will say, in the back of the heads of the coaches right now is the thought that how do you approach your starting pitching for the weekend? Because your Friday night guy is likely unavailable. At best case scenario, he's going to be available for very limited action, and I think that's even a little too far-fetched. So your Saturday guy from last week pitched over 100 pitches. Do you want him on short rest? And then come the week after, State has a Thursday through Saturday series, so it would be short rest again for him for a game one start on the weekend. So at that point, if you don't start him on Friday of this weekend, who do you pitch? Is it a Johnny Holstaff-type approach for the Friday game, at which point you have to approach Tuesday as we need to leave some bullets in the gun for game one against Ole Miss? But that said, this is a big week. You know, to have all the in-state games going on with Southern Miss Tuesday tonight and then the weekend series against Ole Miss, it's exciting. It's a lot of fun, and you're hoping you can get Ole Miss on their home turf, a series in which State has been fairly successful over the last few years.
And you talk about a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. That's because of Easter next weekend. Mm-hmm. So a lot of schedules have been backed up a day.
All right, David, you be careful, man. We'll look forward to getting your report when you're back in the studio tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
And Caleb, what we like about you, Caleb comes in here with his Mississippi State shirt on. We hit him pretty hard, of course. But what was it, 3 years ago, the Super Regionals here with Ole Miss? Caleb shows up at the Pete every day wearing black and gold.
I am an equal opportunity offender when it comes to the boys from Oxford.
Thank you, Caleb.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Enjoyed it.
All right, man. Caleb Hamill, everybody. We'll be back and wrap up this edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on Wear. Thank Caleb for coming in and joining us. He's still in the studio with us along with Daniel. And as you heard, Dima is on his way to Starkville. All right, last segment of the show every day is sponsored by Jewel Masters. And that's where you go to sell your gold, your silver, your old coins, old jewelry. Just last week, Daniel, we pulled Kelly's grill out, and he saw, did you get good money for that grill at Jewel Masters?
Yeah, well, Little Wayne was the second highest bidder. Marty Vick was first.
Now, this is Marty. A teeth grill, not
grill.
Okay.
You ever seen Kelly with his grill?
I would love to see that, Kelly.
Yeah. That's my
you sold it, so you don't have it anymore?
My rapper alternative.
Alter ego?
Is Special K.
Special
K. Are you hearing this, Caleb? Caleb may leave now.
You know, it's interesting, because, and I wanted to ask this, Caleb, we ran out of time that last segment, and I was mentioning that I'd run into a State fan at one of the local grocery stores here, and he said that he's kind of a casual fan, watches from a distance, but he said he really liked the hire of O'Connor, and his words, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, now this is the type of Mississippi State baseball that we're used to, that just wasn't there under the tenure of Chris Lemonis. And, of course, prior to that, you know, there was some – but I think he was referring to the Ron Polk years and so on. But and you got that. You kind of understood what he was talking about.
Oh, and just being around the guy for 1 minute, you'll see that. There's a lot more of a traditional baseball flair with him, for one. But two, I would say that the differences in Chris Lemonis to Brian O'Connor are very stark, in that Lemonis was more of a team manager type, kind of like your Major League Baseball managers. And Brian O'Connor he's still a recruiter. He is a coach at the purest level. He will be one that is not afraid to get in the middle of practice, put the helmet on, and act like the runner between, you know, home plate and third base on back pick throws. This is a guy that I think fits Mississippi State for a couple things. One, he's a true baseball guy through and through. The guy has known the sport. He has lived the sport. He breathes the sport. But two, he is a coach in that he truly does embrace the players and the teachable moments of the game, and doesn't just leave the players to figure it out, as is a lot of the time the way people are dealt with nowadays. But he still adds structure, adds teachable moments. It doesn't matter if it's your second swing of batting practice. He's going to take a mental note, and as soon as you exit the cage, he's going to let you know, hey, I noticed you're doing this. You can work on this, or see the ball this way, and help improve.
Hands-on kind of guy.
Very hands-on. That's a great way to put it.
Would you describe him as old school?
Sure. Yeah. I would say that.
I think that's
in the best
thing.
Way.
I did
not,
too.
Yeah, not
I
an
think
outdated
that's a
way.
Good thing. No, I think that's a good thing. Yeah.
I think it's a good thing, but younger people would probably say, oh, gosh, here go the old guys again talking about the old ways of doing things. We're going to filter our way out of the system, and the new age coaches are going to come up behind. It's just the circle of life, as Mufasa said.
You know? I'll say one thing. He's been successful wherever he went.
Yes.
I consider Oz an old school coach. He's big time successful. And boy, did you ever play for the old school coach.
If there was an old school coach.
Could he coach Palmer today? Could Coach Palmer coach today, Daniel?
I think he could, but I think he would look around and see what's going on in sports in general, just with the NIL.
And he'd go to the house, wouldn't he?
And he would probably say, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. I'm just going to call it a career. I think he would. But, I mean, gosh, yeah, you talk about just a gritty baseball player at heart. That was Coach Palmer.
Yeah, but Oz, I think, is a good combination of old school. But when you listen to his soundtrack, his playlist – that's not old school.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what. I go to practice pretty much every Monday afternoon, and I always go early. I just sit in the dugout and listen to the rock show, man.
Is it Oz?
Oz was blasting them yesterday. Now.
Is it Nirvana, or who does he?
Oh, he loves Nirvana. He loves Pearl Jam.
Oh, Pearl Jam. Yeah,
you'll hear a lot of Pearl Jam. You'll hear a lot of Grateful Dead.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, I mean, Oz has got some taste when it comes to music now. No question about that. No question. Hey, real quick, I want to remind everybody about MCS Home Center. That's where you go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. I'm happy to say that I spent some time with Hank Lott's son Stone this weekend. He sat with me quite a bit at baseball. We just had a delightful time together. He's a great kid and loves that Golden Eagle baseball.
And contrary to popular belief, it is Stone Lott that runs the athletic department at Southern Miss, not Jeremy McClain.
Yeah, I think that's probably exactly right. And of course, Daniel, I don't know if you and Caleb heard this yesterday, but we actually asked Oz if you had to take Camden Clark or Jeremy McClain, who you know was an All-American pitcher at Delta State, he went with Camden.
Well, I mean,
he went with Camden. He
that's
actually
not
said,
surprising.
"He said, you mean now?"
Well, did McClain throw 97 with a dirty slider back?
No.
But Camden Clark doesn't sign those checks either.
Yeah, you
know? Very true.
Were you aware of that, Caleb? That Jeremy McClain?
Oh, I did know about his pedigree at Delta State.
Yeah, he was an All-American.
But knowing what I know from what I saw from Camden Clark against State back on that Tuesday so many weeks ago, I think that's a fair pick.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Camden.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm going with Camden. All right, real quick, your thoughts
on tonight's game? Yeah, I'm. Nobody else has beaten Mississippi State at home. I'm kind of with Caleb. I think State, you know, wins this one. I think it'll be tight, but I think State wins.
I am never going to pick against the Golden Eagles, no matter how bad I think we are behind the eight ball. I'm going to say we win, but it is going to be a hard ball game. Duty Noble is a tough place to play baseball.
Well, you already know where I lie. But at the end of the day, I think this is a big RPI opportunity for both sides. I just don't want the NCAA at the end of the year to have both teams hosting regionals and then play each other in a super. That's the last thing I want to have happen.
That is a really great point there, Caleb, and I'm with you 1,000% on that one. We do know this. It's two fine college baseball teams squared off tonight. No
question. That is right.
All right, that wraps it up here. We'll get the wrap-up tomorrow with Coach Creel. Also this week, Camden Sustrom, Matthew Russo on the Eagle Hour. Until tomorrow, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.